Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be here today to celebrate who you are and what you have done. We thank you that we're able to be here, that you have provided a way, in spite of all the challenges we face, that you are still with us. Lord, open our hearts today as we have a look at something that has been a source of controversy over the years and really didn't need to be. Let us all walk away willing to take advantage of the opportunity that this season provides to share the good news that you came for us. In Jesus' name, amen. One of the things that a good leader or a good pastor ought to be able to do is admit when he's wrong. And I don't know that makes me good or not, but I am going to admit that I think, at least, I was wrong. Something that I taught a few years ago. And I ran across some information recently that made a good case for an opposing view, a more traditional view, actually. And I thought, well, that would be fun to share. I've already shared one side. Let's share the other side. And I think you'll be encouraged. Because I have taught in the past, and there's truth in it still, that we've got Christmas all wrong. And it is true that many of our traditions that we have carried forward have some pagan roots, although I question now, even the ones that I've written down here, I question now whether that's even true, and I'll get to why that is in a minute. Gift giving supposedly came from a pagan practice. The lights on the houses supposedly was a Roman custom. The Christmas tree really doesn't seem to have any redeeming quality other than the fact that Christians have redeemed it. The holly and the mistletoe came from fertility rituals. But the issue that has perhaps been the most interesting is that of timing. Because supposedly, what you probably all heard and what I've taught before is that December 25th was adjusted or set up by the church to counter the pagan solstice festival. And some people think that the real time of Jesus' birth was actually earlier in the year, around the time of the Feast of Tabernacles. And plus, a very good question that comes up, well, who would be grazing their sheep out in the snow? So what do we do about that? Well, I'm going to answer some of those questions. Who gave us this information that we're all quoting? Might it actually have come from people who are trying to discredit Christianity and everything that all the trappings thereof? Many Christians have certainly accepted the narrative, and I think probably many of them, as is the case with me, see all the silliness and all the craziness that goes on. And so we have what's called confirmation bias. We see something that confirms our worst suspicions about the whole thing and what it's become, and so we latch onto it. Well, no wonder. No wonder. It must be, you know, it's all pagan. No wonder it's become what it is. But I have to give thanks to the Lord, first of all, but a lot of the material that I have is courtesy of a man named Al Parada, who writes for The Stream, which is an online publication that, if you're not familiar with, I would advise you to get familiar with it, because there's a lot of good stuff there. But there are several, the three questions we're going to try to address. When was he born? Did we, in fact, steal Christmas from a pagan festival? And should we be celebrating it all? There are some theories around December 25th. The history of religions theory, as he called it, says we took it from the pagans, as we've already said, that it wasn't celebrated by the early church, that it wasn't celebrated until after the festival of sun worship was established in 274 AD. It came after that. There's another theory of that we call the calculation theory that actually, though, has nothing to do with pagan practice. It's based on the Hebrew tradition of when he would have been conceived. Now, does any of this really matter? Not really. The important thing is that we celebrate, and not so much that we celebrate the day, but that we celebrate the reason for the day. So, who's the real Grinch who stole Christmas? There's an argument that the Christians did it, that December 25th could not have possibly been Jesus' birthday. The church didn't celebrate it. There's no mention of it in the New Testament, celebrating Jesus' birthday. Hebrews typically didn't celebrate, which of course, Hebrews were the original Christians, or they were the people from whom the Christians were drawn. Jesus, of course, was Jewish. They didn't celebrate birthdays. And the early writers actually mocked birthday celebrations. They say that what happened is that we copied the worship of the sun god Mithras, and that the worship of the sun god was actually introduced by the Roman Emperor Aurelian in 274 AD, called the festival of the birth of the unconquered sun, or Sol Invictus. And that there are known Christmas celebrations. The first known Christmas celebration, rather, was in 336 BC, or AD, rather, not BC, AD. And supposedly what happened is that Constantine then came along when he Christianized the Roman Empire and changed it to be a Christmas celebration. This all was popularized by a German scholar in the 19th century known as Hermann Usinger, or Usener, is U-S-E-N-E-R. But who's the real Grinch? There's actually no evidence that Constantine changed that celebration into a Christmas celebration. In fact, the first Christmas celebration in Constantinople is documented to be in 380 AD. That's 40 years after Constantine died. And Christians of that time period were still very intent on avoiding all things pagan. So why would they have adopted this practice? And if this was going on, if there were people wanting to do this, would not we have documentation of arguments over it? We don't have any documentation of arguments over it, not from that period of time. It is equally possible in some minds that the celebration that Aurelian instituted was to counter the growing threat that he saw of Christianity and put something else in it in its place. They actually stole it from us. But what, the Christians actually had a belief that it was December 25th that predates the pagan celebrations. The Jews believed that great people died on the day of their conception. Now, obviously, we know that there's no science behind that, but that was the prevailing belief at the time. And so having Jewish roots, early Christians also believed the same thing. Jesus, being perfect, would have fit the pattern in their mind. And Jesus was thought to have died on March 25th. Well, 9 months from March 25th, what do you get? December 25th. Now, the assumption may be false, but what it does is it establishes December 25th in Christian belief as predating these celebrations. A historian named Sextus Julius Africanus, he's a Roman Christian historian, declared December 25th as the birthday of Jesus in 221 AD. That, of course, if you know your math, is before 221 is less than 274. And it's possibly even earlier. There was a Christian theologian by the name of, forgive me as I try to pronounce these things, Hippolytus of Rome, who wrote a commentary on Daniel, and he also indicated the same thing. He also implied it in something else that he wrote in 235 AD. Another individual named Cyprian, 243 AD, connects the sun using Malachi chapter 2, verse 4, scripture about the sun rising with healing in his wings, and also connected it to this time frame. That's kind of a loose connection in my mind, but the idea here is just to establish the pagans. We didn't take this from pagan belief. It predates the pagan belief. And there is a way to come to the same conclusion by biblical reference. You got to start with the birth of John the Baptist. The angel who visited Mary in Luke tells her that her cousin was 6 months present with John. So we know that John is about 6 months older than Jesus. It's Luke 1:36. So if John is 6 months older, therefore we can figure out when John was born, we get an idea of when Jesus was born. Well, Zechariah is a priest. He was in the temple when the angel visited him, and we're told by Luke which division he was in. King David had divided up the duties of the priesthood into 24 divisions, and Luke tells us that Zechariah was in the division of Abijah, so we can figure out or get a good idea when it was that he would have been serving in the temple. We think that he served on September 5th through the 11th. So John could have been conceived shortly thereafter. That brings us to a birth 9 months later in June. What's 6 months from June? December. We got another way to come at this, the Magi. The three wise men that came. They came to Jesus probably in Nazareth. This we always have the nativity scenes with them showing up, you know, at the manger, but they actually came later. And the reason why we can know this is his parents went up to the temple to do the things that are required. Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 21, tells us all this. They went to the temple to perform the sacrifices and so forth that were required by the law. The purification and the temple sacrifice, purification that Mary would have had to go through, the temple sacrifice would have taken, and all that would have been 40 days, then plus 3 days of travel back to Nazareth, you get 43 days. Now we know that Herod was still alive because of what Matthew tells us. We know that he was in Jerusalem. We know that he sought to kill Jesus and killed all the young children that were in that area. Josephus, another historian, tells us that Herod left before Passover to seek treatment for his illness. He was ill. He was about to die. So we've got 62 days then between him falling ill and the next Passover. 43 plus 62 leaves a maximum of 105 days between Jesus' birth and the next Passover. Passover that year would have been April 8th, we think. 62 days prior to April 8th, what do you got? December 25th. Okay, so let's deal with the final arguments. What about grazing sheep in winter? Okay, we all live in Texas. How many of you turned your air conditioner on last week? We did. Palestinian winters are actually, can be rather mild. You can have a lot of rain. You can actually have a lot of greenery to graze on. The shepherds could very well have taken their, in fact, they did often take their sheep out further to find pasture, and rather than bring them back into the folds, they'd just stay out with them and watch them at night. So there you have your shepherds in the field watching their flocks by night. It was entirely possible they could have been doing this during the winter. So, do we have some pagan influence? Yeah, we do. The Yule log and the tree. We even got a worship song to the Christmas tree. I hate that song. But not everything, actually, the wreaths on the houses, we have evidence or documentation of Eastern churches who celebrate Christmas a little bit later than we do. They celebrate on January 5th, but we have evidence or we have documentation of them decorating their homes with garlands as part of their celebration. Now, where did they get that? I don't know, but not necessarily everything that we have is pagan in origin. All right, so what does this mean to us? Why do we care? The timing really isn't all that important. God didn't tell us. Some say that because he didn't tell us, that means we really ought not to. We ought not to celebrate it. But I believe it's a matter of your heart. I have a couple of scriptures up today. The first one is from Romans chapter 14, verse 5. One person regards one day above another. Another regards every day the same. Each person must be fully convinced in his own mind. Now, I don't have a Christmas tree. I don't think that anybody who does have a Christmas tree is necessarily doing anything wrong. Some people quote take the passage out of Jeremiah and say that you shouldn't, but that appears to me to be about an idol, not necessarily a tree per se. But nobody, at least in those who believe in Jesus, nobody who puts up a Christmas tree is worshiping the tree. And there are actually ways that you can do that that symbolize good things and things that are good about the season. We were allowed to pretend Santa Claus, but we were also told that Santa Claus wasn't real. We were never told that he was real. But it's a heart matter. If you're using the time to worship God, then use the time to worship God. And I also am, we serve a merciful God. And that's not to say that we ought not to be trying the best that we can to serve him and to obey him in every aspect of our lives. But as you look, even through the Old Testament, I've been learning this over the years, and I know I've said it before, but as you look through the Old Testament, you start to see, at first you might see a wrathful God, but as you look at Israel's history and what they did, you start to see something else. You start to see a merciful God who time and time again redeems his people despite the fact that they don't really deserve it. But when they call out to him, he redeems them. There's an interesting passage in 1 Samuel 19 where David is escaping and his wife puts an idol, puts what they call it, the household idol, in the bed. Like, why in the world did God allow that? Why didn't he speak to David about that? And does that make it right? No, that didn't make it right. It was still wrong. But the point that I'm making is that we have a very merciful God. If we're doing things with the attitude of our heart being right, I think he gives us a lot of grace, a lot of mercy, a lot of latitude in the things that we do. Now, we are not worshiping idols. We don't equate any sort of pagan deity with the things that we're doing as Christians as part of our celebration. It is the idol worship that God hates, the idol worship that's associated with those practices that God hates. And as far as I know, none of us are worshiping idols. Although sometimes the way people get upset when you criticize Christmas, you start to wonder. But whatever we do, it should reflect the joy that we have, the joy that we should always have. 1 Peter 3:15 is another one I put up there. It says, "But sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you. Yet with gentleness and with reverence." Now, that's sort of a strange thing to say, sanctify. I thought we were supposed to be the ones being sanctified. What does it mean, sanctify Christ as Lord in your heart? Well, to sanctify means to set apart, to treat as holy. So we ought to be setting him apart in our hearts, treating him as holy in our actions. Give him glory at this season and at every season. Yeah. Wonder at that baby. I wonder at him all the time. When I think about the Almighty Creator God coming down as a helpless baby and living among us, boy, that just I get amazed by it every time I think about it. So yeah. Rejoice in that. Paul says in Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. So we ought to have the Christmas spirit all year long. I used to say, yeah, the Christmas spirit has horns. But I've come to look at it differently. Be ready then to explain why. To let people know why you have that joy. And this passage was actually written in the context of persecution of the church that going back to the passage out of First Peter, he's addressing the persecution that church is going through. But we are beginning to see that in our own country, and I think it's only going to get worse. But this is an excellent opportunity for us to witness, to rejoice openly in what Jesus has done for us that began on that day. So yeah, sing the carols. Proudly but lovingly proclaim the reason for the season. Say Merry Christmas, but don't fight about it. It's not worth it. Teach children about the real Saint Nicholas. There actually was a character in history that the myth came from. And reach out to those who are hurting and could really use seeing, as my wife says, Jesus with skin on this season. It's a gift. It's a gift. This time of year is a gift. Make use of it while you can. Share the gift. And now you've got all the more reason to have confidence that it's a good one. So thank you, Lord. Thank you for strengthening our faith. Thank you for showing us that you were in control all along. That nobody can take anything from you. We didn't take, and we didn't take... We didn't take this away from some pagan celebration after all. It was ours all along. You gave it to us, and we thank you. And we ask that you help us to use it wisely for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. He is the reason for the season. And since I have to go down there and stop the thing and it's still running, and we're going live, I do want to take a minute and just say to anyone who's listening, if this doesn't make any sense to you, or if you're wondering, if you want to know more about it, by all means, contact us. It's very easy to take advantage of the gift that he's given us. Just ask him into your life. Ask him to be your Lord. Commit to obeying him from this point forward. And watch him change your life.